And we'll read something from The Awakened Soul by Gibran. Be not like him who sits by his fireside and watches the fire go out, then blows vainly upon the dead ashes. Do not give up hope or yield to despair because of that which is past. For to bewail the irrevocable is the worst of human frailties. Desire is half of life. Indifference is half of death. Forgetfulness is a form of freedom. So everybody's here. And here's Brian.
I forgot. So I'm free.
Well, good.
Do you have anything? Or do you want to go into Q&A
today? I could share something first.
Okay.
Guess it's my turn to share.
Told you I forgot.
Brian lost his mind. Woohoo! Yeah.
Don't bother.
Just be grateful. Always live in the attitude of gratitude.
That'd be a miracle.
One thing that I know, and that is that all spiritual teachers that have come into the world and have shared the mystical pathway back home to God, the one thing they share, and the one thing they demonstrate to their disciples, and the one thing that they want the students to awaken to and to know, is God's loving. For ultimately, that's all there is. And a true spiritual teacher is ever pointing to that one fact, that God is loving, and you are God, a manifestation of God's loving, and it's for us to wake up into that loving and to begin to live that fully as possible in every moment, letting go of all the illusion that causes a separation. And the one thing I know is that in meditation, we can begin to wake up to that divine flow of loving in a way we will never wake up to it otherwise. Because in meditation, we truly sacrifice ourselves to the greater will of God, to the greater flow of loving. We sacrifice all those things that stand between us and the Lord by sitting there in the silence, by sitting there in that darkness, by sitting there in the quiet, looking for the light, listening for the sound, letting go of all those things that are not of the light, not of the sound, we begin to wake up into that divine river of loving, that divine flow. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes perseverance of sitting down every day and giving time in meditation to wake up. We wake up every day from a deep sleep into this world. We wake up and we begin the day and we go and do the day, ever moving forward in the physical form, in the physical world, to have experience here. But there's a greater action of awakening to take place for each of us if we will give it the opportunity to do that action of awakening inside of us. And that is to wake up in the physical form and then sit down and let go of the physical world in meditation and wake up inside. To wake up inside is to be born again, to be born in the spirit, to truly be awake. What happens when a child is born in the physical form? It takes its first breath. It begins to be aware of an environment outside of itself. And over a period of time, it begins to wake up to this outside environment and begins to find ways by which to act within it, to impact it, to get its way. And it's for us as souls to now begin to wake up inside to that inner environment, not the outer. We know the outer environment. We wake up to it every day. We move into it every day. But it's for us to also wake up to that inner environment that is the spirit and to begin to move consciously in those realms, in that environment of loving. There are over 6 billion people on this planet at this time, and every single human being is looking for one thing, and that is loving. Everyone is looking for the exact same thing. But we're not all looking in the same place for it. We're looking through our experience to where we can find love. And each of us have gone through many different lifetimes, through many different experiences. And some of us have gained great insight and wisdom, and others still wander this world asleep, feeling alone and lost. It's for us who are coming awake inside and understanding that this world is not the ultimate, is not the answer, is not the place of loving that we are longing for. It is for us then to realize that and begin a new journey, that journey within. It truly is the promised land to go within and to wake up into the truth of who we truly are as spirit, as divine, to wake up in our soul and to begin to truly experience that divine loving that everyone on this planet is longing for. It is only when we enter into that river of loving that we truly begin to understand who we are as a child of God. And it is when we begin to move into that movement of that divine flow of loving that we begin to let go of our wants, our needs, our commands, our demands of the world. When we stop looking outside of ourselves, we stop looking into the world for answer and solution and loving, because we begin to discover that it dwells within us. It dwells at the seat of the soul where God dwells. Each of us is a divine spark of God's loving light and God's loving sound. And all we have to do is to look within. It's an amazing thing that it's so close, and yet it is so far away. Because this physical form keeps calling us to be involved in the world, to do more in the world, to fulfill, to accomplish, to gain, to get more. And we're ever driven by the physical consciousness that the answer is in the world. It's out there. It's in that person. It's in that book. It's in that tradition. It's in that fulfillment. It's in this habit pattern. And yet, the true answer to every question, every want, every need lies within ourselves. When we long for something, when we crave for something, when we call out for something, where are we calling to? Who are we calling to? That is something to pay attention to in your life. When you find yourself inside complaining, who are you complaining to? And what are you complaining about? I know for myself that when I cry out for something, when I complain about something, and I'm speaking inside to myself about all that, that where I look to in my asking, in my complaining, or whatever it might be, is to that source of truth within me at the seat of the soul. And all of us, consciously or unconsciously, do the same thing. When we pray, when we ask of our Creator, of this world, of a higher source, whatever it might be termed, for something, or we complain to that something about what's going on in our life and what did I do to deserve this, and why did you give me this instead of that, we're looking all to the same exact same place. And that is the seat of the soul where that divine spark that is our soul dwells, where God dwells within us. I remember long ago when I learned the Lord's Prayer and I began to memorize it and state it. Our Father which art in heaven. One day I realized where that is. Where is that place where God resides? It's our Father right here at the seat of the soul which art in heaven. This is where heaven resides, at the seat of the soul, right inside of us. It's not out in some great universe outside of this one. It's not in the heavenly worlds above, beyond all of the physical creation. It resides right inside of us. And it's interesting that in most all spiritual traditions, and I'm not going to say all because I don't know all the spiritual traditions, but in most all spiritual traditions that focus on a higher force, they look up to a higher force. They look up when they pray, when they do ritual. There's always an offering upward. There's always a prayer upward. There's always a focus and an attention upward to that place where the God resides that's being worshiped. And if anything, that action of looking up is an automatic response. Because something inside of us knows where the divine dwells, and that's up. That's up inside. But unfortunately, the physical consciousness is ever focused down and out, outside of itself, for answer and solution. So even though we as soul knows that God dwells within us and up in the seat of the soul, the mind believes that it's up out there. All we have to do is to begin to hold our attention above the mind, and we'll begin to realize where God truly resides within ourselves. One thing I also know is that ritual can be a wonderful action by which we can be elevated to look up and elevated into that greater movement of loving. And that is why religion has served humanity so well for so long. Because until we truly begin to have that inner call to come within and to look up to where the divine dwells within us, the outer ritual does remind us that we are something beyond the physical, that we are something that came forth out of a great divine presence, and that we want to honor that and love that and make offering to that and give opportunity for that to participate in our lives. An outer ritual can allow us to live more in that movement and can serve us to remind us of who we are and where God dwells. The other day, about a week ago, Brian and I had a chance to go to a Catholic church and attend a baptism. Now, I haven't been to a Catholic church in a long time, and it was quite fun to go and re-experience in that environment once again of outer ritual, to be there and to participate. And it was quite amazing. We went there first to attend a Mass, and then afterward they did the baptism. And during the Mass and during the baptism, I witnessed something that I remember having witnessed every time I went to church, whether it was Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or going to synagogue. And that was that wherever we hold our attention upward towards the divine, we create a vulnerable space. And in that vulnerability, we allow the Holy Spirit to come present and to move however it can move, to inspire, to comfort, to remind us of who we are as divine. So while we were sitting there and kneeling there and standing there in the Mass and then in the baptism, I was very aware of the outer ritual and that the outer ritual allows everyone to begin to hold their attention to a one-pointed focus upon the priest, upon the action of service, upon the music and the song, upon the words that are being spoken. And everybody's attention is focused to that one place, listening, looking, hoping for the divine presence to come forward. And as everybody's focus began to move more in that direction towards where the priest was standing and sharing, and where the music was being sung, in that one-pointed focus, it gave opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come present for that moment and just move through the congregation, move through the building, to reach out and touch everyone that was being vulnerable in that moment in whatever way it could touch them, to bless them, to comfort them, to be in loving with them, to offer hope, to bring charity and caring, to be compassionate, to offer mercy. Whatever was needed within the individual, the Holy Spirit came present and offered the gift of loving from God into each and every soul that was there. And as I saw that, all of a sudden I was reminded why I used to go to church every Sunday. As a child, I loved going and witnessing just that. And it didn't matter what the outer ritual was. It didn't matter. It could be the most complicated service, of a high mass in Latin, or it could be a very simple action of a Quaker gathering. It didn't matter. It was when people come together holding their attention upon one thing, and that is worship, that is loving, that is God, that it creates a space where the Holy Spirit can come present for a moment and share and bless and be with the soul. And I also realized, listening to that Mass and watching the baptism and seeing the Holy Spirit moving through all of that in its own way, as the consciousness of the group became vulnerable to that, that this is also why I meditate every day. I no longer need to go to Mass every day or to church on Sunday or to an outer ritual in whatever form and whatever day that might be, to experience that movement of the divine, to experience that movement of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have to go somewhere and participate in a group dynamic to have that happen. All I have to do is sit down and close my eyes and go inside and go to where God dwells within me, at the seat of the soul. And just as that group dynamic of everyone holding their attention in a one-pointed focus upon the server of the ritual, all I have to do is realize I am the server of the ritual of worship to God and hold my one-pointed focus to that place of worship, which is the seat of the soul, where God dwells. And there I can experience the same thing inside myself that I experienced in that building, that church, that synagogue, wherever it might have been. I can experience it inside of me, and I can be vulnerable to the movement of that Holy Spirit as it comes present in me, in compassion and caring and loving, in forgiveness and acceptance, in joy and in peace. And all I have to do is continue bringing my attention into one-pointed focus to allow that to be. And just like if you've ever been to church or synagogue or any outer ritual, for a moment your attention is drawn to the action of service and ritual, and you might even feel something taking place in there, and then all of a sudden you're off in your mind somewhere, and you're thinking about something in the world, like, what am I going to have for lunch after this is over with? Or, I wish they would hurry up. It's taking so long and I've got to get somewhere else here and I don't know how long it's going to take me to get there. Or you might be thinking about a week ago event or something you have to do tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, something happens within the service. They announce a new song or a bell is rung to draw your attention back up to the altar. And all of a sudden you come present once again in that one-pointed focus of the group dynamic. And all of a sudden you feel that movement of the Holy Spirit, that loving presence there for a moment touching you. And then off you go again into another daily worldly experience inside yourself. Well, that's what we do in meditation as well. We bring ourselves present in a one-pointed focus, but inward and upward rather than down and out to wherever the ritual is taking place in the world. We hold our focus in an inward focus, in and up to that seat of the soul where the divine dwells within us. And for a moment, our attention is fully focused on that one-pointed action of attention, on chanting the hue or the sacred name of God or just loving God. And just saying over and over again, I love you, Lord, I love you, I love you. However it might be. And for that moment in that vulnerable space, we feel peace, we feel calm, we feel centeredness. We feel the world dropping away from us. And we feel ourselves moving into a meditation, into a time of worshiping God, of being vulnerable to God's loving. And then off we go. Our mind, our emotions, our body kick in, and off we go into Never Never Land rather than into spirit. And if we're good meditators, eventually we'll catch ourselves wandering around in Never Never Land and bring ourselves back into focus, back to that one-pointed place, that centeredness where the soul resides and where the light of God dwells. And again, we'll be vulnerable in that moment to that divine flow. And if we consistently are meditating every day, we'll become good meditators. We'll become disciplined in holding our attention into that one-pointed focus longer and longer and longer until finally we're beginning to live more in the fullness of that divine flow in our meditation. And we're not off wandering away from the action of our meditation into the world of concern and fear and doubt and wonder and desire. We'll hold our attention longer in this spiritual quest of living in the loving of the Lord that dwells within us. So it was very interesting this last week going and attending this baptism and witnessing something that I experienced so long ago. And that was that when the congregation began to pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, in that very moment, not everybody was focused to the priest or to the one saying the prayer or to the altar, but all of a sudden, there was an automatic response within, and it is automatic, that as they said together, Our Father which art in heaven, everybody's attention was drawn up here to the seat of the soul for just a split second. It's automatic. We know inwardly as soul where the Lord resides. We know it unconsciously for most part, everybody. A few consciously know where it resides. But everybody responded and their attention was drawn to where the seat of the soul, where God resides, Our Father which art in heaven. And then their consciousness began to spread out back into the world, back up to the priest, or wherever it might be. And that's what happens when we begin a meditation practice as well. We'll sit down, we'll close our eyes, we'll have great intentions, and we'll go, Our Father which art in heaven, and our attention goes right up here. But by the time we get to the end of that prayer, we're all over the place. And we only got through the prayer because we've got it memorized. And we can say it and still be thinking about other things. We don't want to become habitualized meditators where we can meditate and hold our attention inward and upward and still be thinking about other things in the mind. We want our attention fully on God. We don't want anything else to stand between us and the Lord. We want God first and God only in our meditation and in our daily life. So it means staying really present and conscious in our meditation and in our daily life, in order that God truly dwells within us and we dwell within God in all that we do. And so it means truly staying present in our meditation, staying awake, staying present, staying focused, however best you can. So if you find yourself in your meditation becoming very focused in the moment of sitting down and closing your eyes and bringing your awareness to that point of meditation at the seat of the soul, and in that first moment, in that first few moments possibly, you're very attentive. You're very focused into having a good meditation. And then all of a sudden you're scattered and you're wandering away, and 20 minutes later you're wondering, what was going on? Was I meditating or what? Pay attention to that and see if you can begin to hold your awareness more to the Lord that dwells within. Focus on the hue. Focus on the name of God. Hold your attention upon it. Do things not out of habit. Don't just sit there and chant hue, or anti-hue, or the name of God over and over out of habit. But pay attention. And if you find yourself going into chanting in habit, then change the chant. Do something different. You might chant the name of God for a while and then chant the hue just to keep yourself awake and present and focused. And then begin chanting the name of God again. You might speak the name or the hue. Then you might chant the name or the hue. And then you might sing it. And then go back into speaking it. Just to keep changing the pattern and the rhythm and the movement, staying present and focused in how you're going to wake up into that divine that you are. If you find yourself going to sleep, whether you're sitting or laying down, then find a way to stay awake. If you find yourself just relaxing into a chair and going to sleep, then don't relax into the chair. Keep your back away from the back of the chair. Sit forward so that when you do begin to relax and go to sleep and you find yourself going backward, it'll cause you to become present once again. If you lay down to meditate, one thing that you can do to bring yourself awake if you go to sleep is learn to keep your hand up, your arm up, your elbow bent, and your wrist and hand up in the air in meditation. Your body's relaxed, but when you go to sleep, your arm's going to drop, and that's going to cause you to wake up. It's going to bring you present again. Now, that sounds like a real challenge. How am I going to get comfortable doing that? Well, you will. You will. And it'll keep you present. And you may find that you only have to do these things for a very short time to begin to wake up and to expand your awakeful state in meditation. But these are powerful dynamics by which one can begin to wake up. And that's what it's all about. Paul said, to worship God, we must be in spirit, because God is of spirit, and to truly worship God is to worship God in spirit, not in the flesh, not in this body, but in the spirit of who we are. That means then that we've got to wake up here at the seat of the soul and become awake unto ourselves fully as soul and know ourselves as divine, know ourselves as a child of God, that we, as that child of God, truly can worship the Lord in spirit, to be able to leave this physical body as a spiritual body, as soul, and in spirit, in that soul body, worship the Lord, love the Lord, speak that name, and in the power of the name, rise up into the fullness of who we are as a divine child, returning home from which we came. And that action is so simple, but yet it seems so difficult, so hard, so complicated, so impossible for some. And yet, it isn't impossible. Everything in spirit, in God, is possible. Everything. This pathway is simple. Every spiritual teacher has offered this very same pathway, maybe with a little bit of a different action, different requirements, maybe even different words. The name of God given were different, but they all carry the same frequency, the same action, the same movement, the same focus, the same attentive place. And that is simplicity. It's all the same. It's to go within. It's to wake up inside and to know the divine that you are and to let go of all those things that is not your divinity. All those things that you have believed yourself to be. All those things that have run you and controlled you and limited you and separated you from the truth of who you are. And that's what meditation is about. So you may find in meditation that sometimes it's an action of divine loving. You just sit there and it's just like, yes, yes, oh, this is wonderful. I love it. And that movement of loving is moving in you and through you, and you are moving in that river of loving back into the flow of the divine. And then other times in meditation, it's just pure challenge. It's just pure challenge because you're confronting everything that causes separation in you. Your belief systems, the things that have been taught to you, the things that you've taught yourself, your fears, your anxieties, your frustrations, all of them just come right up in your face and threaten you and challenge you and hold you to it. No, this is who you are. Are you so stupid that you could believe that you're divine? Come on. Let me show you who you really are. And it'll demonstrate to you what it believes you to be, who it knows you to be, because you have stated it to be so, that you were afraid, that you were unworthy, that you were incapable. And all you have to do in those meditative times is to bring yourself back into that place of centeredness here at the seat of the soul. And as all those voices and all that action and all that energy is hitting at you, just look up and say, Lord, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And know one thing, that if we hold our attention inward and upward into that movement of loving, loving the Lord, that that loving is going to lift us above all of that. It will just lift us above all of it. And all of that eventually will drop away. It will drop away in that meditation, and eventually it will drop away fully because we have created ourselves into such a place of loving that all that that has been of the world, the challenge, the doubt, the fear, it has nothing to hold on to anymore in us. Because all of that frequency of negativity, of fear, of doubt, of anger, of frustration, it can only hold on to us as long as we have something in us that it can hold on to. And so all we have to do is create all these smooth surfaces inside, all these smooth places inside, so that when fear and doubt and anger and frustration and all of that begins to grab up to hold on, and to pull us down, there's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to grab a hold of. It's just so smooth surface. It's like, golly, There's nothing to hold on to. I can't pull them down. I can't get a hold of them. And that's what love does. Love smooths everything out in such a way that the negativity of this creation, the negativity of the mind and the emotions and the body –